talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers. This is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direect, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there's been a lot of it made since our last show. I want to start again with the reversal of Roe v. Wade. The illegitimate reversal by an illegitimate court, in my opinion, I'll explain, Roe v. Wade and its consequences. There's been a lot written about it over the weekend, a lot written about it starting Friday after our show last week. Let me tell you my view of it. I think it'll go down in history as the equivalent of the Dred Scott decision. The Dred Scott decision in the 1850s, leading up to the Civil War, held that a slave could not be free, basically, because of his race, and sent Dred Scott back into slavery, even after he had achieved freedom. People were disgusted with that. They were disgusted with the Supreme Court. They looked on the Supreme Court as having no legitimacy. One thing led to another, and Abraham Lincoln got elected, thank God. The South seceded, and the rest is history. There have been some things said by Clarence Thomas that are deeply disturbing, even in the context of the Roe v. Wade reversal. I want to tell you what they are, and I want to tell you something else. When the Supreme Court takes a very, very dramatic step and reverses a long line of cases, normally it does it gingerly, at least diplomatically, without insult and taunting. This crowd just took an axe to it. Clarence Thomas said, after the decision, that he believes that the thinking that underlies the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is an attack on the right to privacy, also is what underlies your right to buy contraceptives. In Griswold v. Connecticut, 60 years ago, it was illegal, if you were not married, to buy contraceptives in the state of Connecticut, believe it or not. The Supreme Court said that people have a right to privacy, and they overturned that state law. Texas had a law up until not too long ago, believe it or not, that regulated how... I can't hear you.
Can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
And we're back with Matt Flynn Direct. Sorry about those technical difficulties, but I'll let you take it away, Matt.
Back on the air. Back on the air. Well, there was an awful lot of history made just in the last 12, 24 hours. A lot of history made. I don't know if you saw the interview with Cassidy Hutchinson. Cassidy Hutchinson, a former aide to Mark Meadows. She was... the principal aide to Mark Meadows. She'd worked for Stephen Scalise. She was a Republican's Republican, and she gave testimony yesterday that was shocking. I watched every bit of it and encourage you to go back on YouTube and watch every bit of it. This thing It's about time it came out. We'd heard rumors about some of it, but I'm going to take you through it right now. I'm going to take you through it right now. This is the sixth hearing. They've had five hearings, the January 6th commission, special commission. This is the sixth, and it had not been scheduled. The next one was scheduled coming up in a few weeks. But when they looked at all of the evidence that Cassidy Hutchinson has given them, it was imperative, obviously imperative, that it come out as quickly as possible. She'd also worked for Senator Ted Cruz. This is no Democrat. Cassidy Hutchinson is no Democrat. Then she worked in the White House for a couple of years at the end of the Trump administration. Worked in the White House. She cooperated. She'd given several depositions before. I know the lines are lighting up. Do not hang up. I'll get to you shortly. And here is what she said, and I'm going to take you through it in unvarnished fashion. First of all, she told about a discussion that she had had with Rudy Giuliani before the January 6th insurrection, several days before. They were leaving the White House. It was late at night. And he turned to her and he said, are you excited about January 6th? It'll be great. We're going to the Capitol. Giuliani said that to her several days in advance. She was very concerned. She poked her head into Mark Meadows' office the next time she had a chance. And she said, Mark, Rudy had a strange conversation with me. Rudy said something about going to the Capitol and being excited, and Meadows didn't look at her. And he said, things might get real bad on January 6th. He is the chief of staff, was the chief of staff to Donald Trump. He knew what was going to happen. Rudy Giuliani knew what was going to happen. They knew days in advance. She said she felt scared and nervous at that and didn't know what else to do. She'd already talked to her boss, Mark Meadows, the chief of staff. Back in December of 2020, right after the election, this is before the January 6th insurrection, John Ratcliffe, the head of U.S. intelligence, a former congressman, told her that things shortly, quote, could be dangerous and spiral out of control. And the White House shouldn't be doing it. Very mysterious. Didn't say what they shouldn't be doing. But whatever it was, they shouldn't be doing it. And of course, he was talking about January 6th. On January 4th, she got a call from Robert O'Brien, senior intelligence guy, who told her there was a potential for violence coming up in 2 days, and he wanted to talk to Mark Meadows. So she passed the message on. This is Robert O'Brien. There was a deputy chief of staff under Meadows named Ornato, Mr. Ornato. And he and Meadows on January 4th met to discuss violence, the prospect of it several days later. On January 5th, the police arrested people with guns in Washington that had come in for this rally. They arrested them. One of the most shocking, and not the only shocking, and perhaps not the most shocking, but one of the shocking things about her testimony was that when Trump gave his speech on January 6th, there were metal detectors. They call them magnetometers, mags, but they're metal detectors. Anybody coming close to the president has to go through a metal detector. A lot of people crowded around Trump, and their weapons were taken away. There were guns, knives, brass knuckles. There were flagpoles that had spearheads put on them. What are people bringing knives, brass knuckles, guns, and spears on January 6th? Trump looked out on the crowd, and people that wouldn't go through the metal detector had to stay over by the Washington Monument on a big open area. And he got angry. He started to shout. He said, wait a minute. I want all those people over here. I want them all over here. This doesn't look like a big enough crowd over here. Bring them over. Secret Service said, sir, they won't go through the metal detector. They won't go through the metal detector. And you know what he said? He said, I don't care if they go through the metal detector. They're not here to harm me. They're not here to harm me. Who did they think? Who did he think they were going to harm? Members of Congress and Mike Pence. They're not here to harm me. They're not here to harm me. There's police radio dispatches that were played. People in that crowd had AR-15s as well. Not just guns, not just Glocks, not just knives, brass weapons, spears, brass knuckles. Brass knuckles, what were they going to use those for? To punch cops? To punch cops? Or to punch members of Congress? Spear them? AR-15 them? AR-15 them. We got to go to a break. I know you're on the line. There are two people on the line. I'm going to get back to you right after the break. Do not hang up. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to talk a lot more about Casey Hutchinson's startling testimony yesterday, back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be...
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Millie of Madison, thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Millie of Madison?
Hi, Matt. So I'm calling for two reasons. The first is, when will Biden fire Merrick Garland? I just think the DOJ is so infected at this point. I listened to the January 6th select hearings last week, and Donahue, an acting DOJ top guy, Rosen, sat there discussing Trump's illegal and criminal actions without arresting him. Number one, how did that happen? How did the acting DOJ leader and Donahue sit there talking about how Trump, they knew that Trump was up to all these antics and never arrested him? And then the second part, in addition to when is Biden going to fire Merrick Garland, is and Cassidy Hutchinson's, I read that the reason they had a surprise testimony yesterday was to protect her, because they believe she's in danger due to some of the threats that Trump and Trump allies have said to other witnesses. So you right at this point, what is going on in the DOJ, and what are we going to do about criminal Trump and his gang who are threatening witnesses?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Millie, thank you for raising those. I'm going to hit them right on the head right now. Excellent insight. First of all, Merrick Garland, I think, is very weak. Said this before on our show. Merrick Garland likes to be liked. And people who like to be liked are not good attorneys general. Bobby Kennedy was a great attorney general. He didn't spend a lot of time wondering if he was liked. The problem with Merrick Garland is everybody sort of kisses his ring and goes, what a great judge. He should have been the Supreme Court. Biden appointed him thinking he had stature, and he did in the legal community. But he does not. He's very cautious. He's very timid, quite frankly. And it's not just January 6th. I mean, there have been voting outrages around the country. That fake audit in Arizona. Remember, this was a presidential race. The attorney general can go in and say, no, you're not going to turn over ballots to some QAnon outfit out of Georgia. He didn't do anything. He hasn't done anything in terms of prosecution on the fake electors. I mean, how much more evidence does he need? How much more does he need? This reminds me of the Pink Panther, Peter Sellers, Inspector Clouseau walks into a room and he goes, I am looking for clues. And there's a dead body on the floor. He trips over it. He trips over the dead body. Where are the clues? How many more clues do you need? How many more clues do you need? And Donahue's testimony and Rosen's testimony the last week, right on the money, they're putting in Jeffrey Clark, who's a criminal himself, quite frankly, Jeffrey Clark, to send a false letter to Georgia and the other purple states, you know, the six that went for Biden, and falsely lying, say that there were problems. Have your legislature pick the electors? I mean, that will be seen in American history 200 years from now as a signature attack on the Constitution and a major criminal event. And where is Garland? He's taking depositions. I've taken a lot of depositions. Depositions take a lot of time. Biden only has a certainty of being president till 2024. Hopefully he gets four more years. Something's got to be done soon. Something's got to be done right away. I think Garland was a weak pick. I agree. When is he going to fire him? Remember that Joe Biden is turning out to be one of the most consequential presidents we've ever had. I'm very, very, very honored that I supported him early. He's staring down a nuclear power, Russia and Ukraine, stabbed in the back by Tucker Carlson and Trump, stabbed in the back by the Republican Party. The Republicans are fomenting racial hatred. He's standing up. He's standing tall. And these investigations are going on. And he has the wrong attorney general, quite frankly. He has a timid attorney general. With regard to Cassidy Hutchinson, your insight is a very, very good one. This is the first I've ever heard that, and I want that proclaimed over the listenership. Millie of Madison's idea was that they rushed Casey Hutchinson in to testify before she could be bumped off. If they waited a couple of weeks, she had absolutely devastating testimony. And if you're laughing at that, anybody, you think that's funny, let me tell you something. Do you remember Michael Cohen? Michael Cohen was the lawyer that brokered the Stormy Daniels deal, and he's the only one who went to jail over Stormy Daniels, and he never met Stormy Daniels. He never got anything off of Stormy Daniels, no money, nothing else, and he's the guy that goes to jail. He said that when he decided to testify, he was so frightened. Instead of flying, he drove to Washington, D.C. from New York, and he wore a disguise. He had sunglasses, a baseball hat, and he altered his appearance. That's how afraid he was. And what Millie is referring to, one of the absolute blockbusters at the end that came out from the commission, was that witnesses who are about to testify have been getting texts. And the texts go something like this. They say, a certain person has told me you are going to testify. He is confident that you will be loyal and not do the wrong thing. That is tampering. That's threatening a witness. That has happened in Milwaukee County in street crime cases where witnesses are killed before trial. They're killed before trial. They have to be protected by the police in Milwaukee in high-profile crimes before trial. The stakes are a lot higher. How hard is it to find out who sent those supposedly anonymous emails and texts? And how hard is it for Merrick Garland to say Trump is behind that? And they go, oh, well, it doesn't say Trump. It says a certain person. I'll tell you what, indict Trump. He can bring a pretrial motion to dismiss because it's not his name on it. There's no judge in this country worth his salt who would dismiss it. He can go to a jury. He can say to the jury, it wasn't me. And they might believe him. Sure, they might believe him. They might believe that the moon is made out of green cheese, too. Millie has nailed it. She's nailed both things. Dick of Madison, my friend, we have a little time in this segment. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
She certainly nailed it. I second that. The other sidebar from yesterday was that testimony that was on video of treasonous Mike Flynn. I think that Cheney kind of let him off the hook a little bit. You know, a minute and 36 seconds into it, he finally answers somewhat. And his attorney looked like a deer in headlights. And then he goes, oh, the fifth. You know, if I would have been Liz Cheney, I would have said something like this. And even when he was asked about the peaceful transfer of power, he pled the fifth. So, in other words, Mr. Flynn, in the words of your former boss, are you pleading guilty? Trump's on record as saying, if you plead guilty, you're guilty. Or, I mean, if you plead the fifth, you are guilty. So, in your boss's own words, you are guilty.
This is great, Dick. Yeah, Dick is referring to a video was played of General Michael Flynn, who I will say is not a relation of mine. And he is one of the real conspirators with Trump. And he went, he took the fifth on virtually everything. But one of the things he took the fifth on was this question: sir, do you believe in the peaceful transfer of power? I mean, who the hell takes the fifth? And do I believe in the, and he says fifth. I wouldn't let him do that. I'd say, you don't just throw a number out there. You say the words. I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. So, yeah, I think that I don't know that Cheney let him off. She couldn't bring him in physically because he resisted a subpoena. But she put that on, and it was damning testimony that he took the fifth in the peaceful transfer of power. A lot more on this subject. Got to go to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
They'll never stay home, and they're always home. Even with someone they love. Mama, don't let you babies grow.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more to talk about, the blockbuster testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson. On January 6th, Meadows and the Deputy Chief of Staff, Ornato, had a discussion about how the insurrectionists were armed. Because the insurrectionists that went up to the Capitol were not just the ones that had their weapons confiscated because they were close to Trump, but it included everybody on the lawn at the Washington Monument, and some of them had AR-15s. Cassidy Hutchinson asked Ornato, did you inform the president? Ornato said, yes, I did. But Meadows, the chief of staff, didn't act on it. There was a tent right behind or right next to where the speeches were given on January 6th. You saw Trump, you saw Giuliani, Mo Brooks, Don Jr., all of that. I want to emphasize again that Trump got angry in that tent and demanded that the Secret Service take away the metal detectors. Let the whole crowd from the Washington Monument lawn come up and get around me. And they said, sir, they won't go through the metal detectors. And there's reports of AR-15s in that group. They're, the ones we did confiscate had guns, knives, brass knuckles, spears. They were poles that they had put crude spearheads on. And I want to emphasize again what Trump said. They're not here to hurt me. Let them in. Get rid of the metal detectors. They didn't do it because the Secret Service has protocols on how they protect the president. If you let people with guns and AR-15s, knives close to the president, they'd get fired. They can't do that. But he kept demanding it. But the chilling thing about what he said is, they're not here to hurt me. Not only does that mean he doesn't care about anybody else, but why do you think people bring guns, knives, brass knuckles, spears, and AR-15s to a rally and then march on the Capitol? If they're not there to hurt him, who are they there to hurt? Who's at the Capitol? There are only two kinds of people at the Capitol. Cops and legislators. What he was saying is, they're not here to hurt me. Let them go up. And if they hurt cops and legislators, so be it. In fact, they had a gallows, hang Mike Pence. Remember that? Hang Mike Pence. The testimony came out that Trump knew there was insufficient security at the Capitol. He knew, Ornato said that the, and Ornato comes out of this as a fairly good guy, continually pleading with Meadows and Trump to do something. He said the cops are going to get overrun, Capitol Police. There's not enough people up there. Cassidy Hutchinson went to Meadows at the car. He was in the car right after the speech. She opened the door to his car. He was in the presidential motorcade back to the White House. And she said, the cops are getting overrun. It's already happening. He closed the door on her. He just pulled it closed. He just pulled it closed. It's the first time that it ever happened. He didn't want to hear it. He had no reaction to this information. The White House lawyers were very concerned about Trump's speech. This testimony came out. Cipollino and Hirschman. Words like fight for Trump, march in the Capitol, fight, fight, fight. They urged deletion of all those terms. And they said there may be criminal consequences if there's violence up there. They told him that. There are two kinds of movements that a president can make. One is scheduled. There's a schedule of the president's actions and movements every day that's released to the press. And there's another kind of movement called OTR, off the record. There's obviously nothing on the record, the formal schedule showing Trump going to the Capitol. But he ordered that there be an OTR, an off the record movement up there that would not be disclosed. And even an off the record movement requires some preparation to make sure he's safe. He wanted to go to the Capitol. He was told, we'll be charged with crimes if you do that. Cipollino told him that. You'll be charged with obstructing justice, defrauding the electoral count, and inciting a riot. He was told that by the White House counsel, Cipollino. When the mob finally got in, Kevin McCarthy called Cassidy Hutchinson, was angry with her. And he said, you lied to me. Kevin McCarthy is a minority leader and told Cassidy Hutchinson, you lied to me. You said you weren't going to the Capitol. Don't come up here. Don't come up here. He said, I didn't lie to you. We're not going to the Capitol. Trump wants to go to the Capitol, but we're not going to the Capitol. Trump still thought they had an OTR and off the record trip to the Capitol. When he got in the car to go up there, Billy Engel was the head of his security detail. He was Secret Service. Said, "Sir, we're not going to the Capitol. We're going home. It's not secure." Trump blew up at him. "I'm the effing president," he said. "Take me to the Capitol." Trump pushed back Billy Engel and grabbed the steering wheel. Billy Engel took his hand off the steering wheel and said, sir, don't touch the steering wheel. And Trump went for his throat, grabbed his clavicle, she said. The clavicle is just beneath the throat. Now, I want to say something about that testimony. She didn't see it. She was describing what was described to her by people in the car. Billy Engel has already testified under oath to the committee. And he did not deny that. After this testimony came out yesterday, some unnamed person in the Secret Service said, no, he didn't try to grab him by the throat. We're happy to testify under oath. The Secret Service does not want to humiliate a protectee. But Billy Engel already testified. If he wants to come back and say what? Now I have a sudden recollection, baloney. Trump tried to grab the wheel, tried to get at him, was angry that they wouldn't go to the Capitol. Cassidy Hutchinson said that there's a dining room right off the Oval Office, the West Wing, where the president takes lunch, so he doesn't have to walk very far in the middle of his day. And the valet, they call him the valet, that's a real old-fashioned term. What it is basically the guy who takes care of Trump, serves him his food, and does all that kind of thing. Cassidy Hutchinson happened to walk by the dining room, and there's ketchup on the wall. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in the White House. I have been in the White House when Jimmy Carter was president. invited Democratic, strong Democrats from different states to a Christmas party just after he lost the election before Ronald Reagan came in. It was a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful house. And to think of the woodwork and everything in that place with ketchup on it. And the valet, and she said, how did that happen? He said, the president threw his lunch at the wall. Threw his lunch at the wall. And Cassidy Hutchinson was asked by Liz Cheney, did he ever, and there was porcelain that was broken on the floor. So she said, did he ever break dishes on other occasions? And Cassidy Hutchinson said, yes. When was it, said Liz Cheney? When Bill Barr in December told the Associated Press that there's not fraud in the election, Trump was so angry. What he did is, and he had done this before, he would yank the tablecloth quickly off the table so all the dishes and food had fallen on the floor. You know, of everything, that is, I mean, first of all, do you want this guy with his finger on the nuclear button again? Are you kidding me? Whenever he gets angry, throw stuff at the wall, ketchup on the wall, yanks off the tablecloth, shattered porcelain. The valet would simply say, or he said back in on the Bill Barr episode, and this time, quote, he's really ticked off about this. This guy is frankly not emotionally well. He's emotionally disturbed. He may be mentally ill, too. This was not the first time he yanked the tablecloth off. On January 5th, the day before January 6th insurrection, Roger Stone, remember him? He had his sentence commuted. He was criminally convicted and had his sentence commuted by Trump. Was photographed with the Oath Keepers as his security detail. The Oath Keepers is this violent group that was part of the insurrection. They were his security detail. Many of them have been charged. Many of them took the fifth. Michael Flynn. Flynn was actually pardoned. They put in a video of him, deposition video. Dick of Madison's already raised this. He's already raised it. They would ask Flynn very routine questions. You know, were you at this meeting? I take the fifth. Do you think that there should be a peaceful transfer of power in our democracy under the Constitution? He took the fifth. There was a meeting, a war room at the Willard Hotel. I don't know if you've ever been at the Willard Hotel. It's one of the most historic hotels in Washington. I've been at the Willard Hotel. It's a great place. War room was there. It had people like Stone and also some Oath Keepers. And Mark Meadows told Cassidy Hutchinson, I'm going to go there for the meeting. She said, don't go. And she argued with him. And you know what he did? He dialed in and he was there by phone. He wouldn't go. On January 6th, when phone calls came in saying, please stop the violence, Meadows told Cipollini, the White House counsel, Trump doesn't want to do anything about this. Jim Jordan called. Gymnasium Jim, GYM Jordan, friend of the wrestling mat, called. Meadows was in the Oval Office dining room. They were shouting, hang Mike Pence. Trump did not want to do anything about it. Cipollini, Meadows, and Hirschman all went in to talk to him. They're saying, hang Mike Pence, and Donald Trump said, maybe Pence deserves it, end quote. Maybe his vice president deserves to be murdered. There's a lot more here. You're on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Comment a little more about the Cassidy Hutchinson testimony and then go to the lines. When Trump said that maybe Pence deserves it, when he was told, they're saying hang Mike Pence, you got to stop this. Trump said maybe Pence deserves it. Pat Cipollini, the White House counsel, said This thing is effing crazy. And that wasn't the only time that Donald Trump said maybe Pence deserved it. He gave an interview to NBC News to Jonathan Carl afterwards, after the January 6th. And he said, the rioters did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong. And when Carl said, well, you know, the business about hanging Mike Pence, what Trump said is, well, think about it. Pence, according to Trump, had information and it was a fraudulent election, did nothing about it. That was false. There was not a fraudulent election. But he's simply saying, okay, hang him if he disagrees with him. He said that to Jonathan Carl. Actually, is ABC News. Jonathan Carl, I believe, is ABC News. Trump put out a tweet the afternoon of January 6th. Pence didn't have the courage to do the right thing. He said that in a tweet when Pence is hiding 40 feet from the insurrectionists who want to kill him. And there's a gallows there. And he puts out a tweet that goes, Pence didn't have the courage to do the right thing. He is inciting the murder of Pence. Immediately on January 6th, right after the insurrection, two of his cabinet members resigned. Secretary DeVos and Secretary Chow. Chow is the wife of Moscow Mitch. Ivanka Trump and all the White House lawyers told him to stop the violence right in the middle of it. Cassidy Hutchinson said that there were several groups in the White House on this issue. One is the group that did the right thing and said, stop it. Another was a neutral group who knew that he would be angry and didn't want to be retaliated against. And the other one was the deflect and blame group. Some Republicans would say, well, yeah, but here's what the Democrats did. Meadows is in that group. There was a statement prepared for Trump to put out. And in it, the phrase, what is happening is illegal and without legal authority, stop it. He never issued it. Laura Ingraham texted him, quote, tell him to go home. It's hurting your legacy. It's hurting everything we've accomplished. Don Jr. went to Meadows. Dad has got to condemn this SHIT ASAP. Kevin McCarthy told Nora O'Donnell, the TV anchor, I quote, I completely condemn this. It's un-American. I told the president. Mike Gallagher of Green Bay, a congressman Republican in Wisconsin, put out a video. We got to stop it. Call it off. It's over. Sean Hannity told Trump that the cabinet was considering invoking the 25th Amendment. What is the 25th Amendment? 25th Amendment lets the cabinet, if they get together, to remove the president. If they can remove the president. Finally, at 4:17 p.m., Trump told the rioters he loved them. Go home. You're very special. You can see that these other people are evil, i.e. the Congress and the cops. And he wouldn't condemn the violence. He would not condemn the violence. Sean Hannity told Kayleigh McEnany, his press person, there can be no more stolen election talk. Talk about the future, or else he's going to be impeached, or the 25th Amendment is going to be invoked. We have a lot of calls. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up if I don't get you before the next break. So we'll try to keep these comments as succinct as possible. First, we're going to go to Jake of Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jake? Okay, next we're going to Randy of Madison. Thank you, Randy. What's on your mind today?
Morning, Matt. Sorry if I interrupt your momentum here, but I'd like to talk about Friday's the Supreme Court decision, specifically the fact that the three Trump appointees lied like troopers during their confirmation hearings. every one of them were ensuring us.
I'm going to address that later in this show, Randy. There's a lot of people on the line that want to talk about the insurrection. So I get your point. They did lie, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and to some extent, Comey Barrett. That's an excellent point. We will get to that. Next up is Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Oh, good morning, Matt. Great show. You know, everything Jeannie from Eau Claire said is true. You know, but this is epic proportions here. I don't think when you look back at history, there's ever been anything like this in the history of our country. You know, I don't even know how to address this. Benedict Arnold, that was in the history books. But this guy knowingly tried to overthrow our government, willing to let his followers come into the Capitol with weapons. I'm like, he's going to take down the metal detectors, for goodness sake. This is...
No, it's an enormity, Paul, Wisco Paul. This is treason on the hoof. It's treason on the hoof, and you hit the nail on the head. He wanted no metal detectors, so the people were not out to get him. Who were they out to get? They were out to get the cops. They were out to get the legislators. Paul, thanks a lot for calling, as always. Next one is Jack of Milwaukee. What's in your mind today, Jack of Milwaukee?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country. Yeah, I got a quick comment on this Cassidy Hutchinson. I believe what she did took a lot of courage, and that young lady's only 25 years old. I think when we look back on this history, she could have very well saved our country, our democracy. I believe she should be awarded the Medal of Honor. That's just a quick comment. Thank you for letting me express my view.
Thank you, Jack. I always enjoy your calls. I think you're right. It took a lot of guts. But, you know, we had Millie of Madison in the first hour, had a great insight. And Millie of Madison said they may have been afraid that she would be subject to violence. That's why they expedited her testimony. We have 2 minutes left in this, and then don't hang up. Dan and Monona, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dan?
Hey, Matt, do you ever think that as hard as he tried to stay in office, what do you think he's trying to hide? What crime is he trying to hide to stay in office so hard?
Yeah, well, you know, he has a trail of crimes, financial crimes, cheating banks and taxing authorities. He has, Randy or Mike Cohen went to jail for his crimes about Stormy Daniels. He extorted Brad Raffensperger in Georgia. And he has continued. I mean, if you took a look at his the money he's raised, $250 million, that basically he's just using for his own purposes. He has financial crimes up the wazoo. But in this case, this is treason and violence. Violence. You know, people were killed on January 6th. Cops were almost beaten to death. They were beaten up. A woman got trampled. Another woman got shot. And he wants them to go up there with weapons? What do you think a guy with an AR-15, brass knuckles, or a knife or a spear is going to do? They brought them up there. And it was an absolute miracle that there weren't dozens of people killed. This guy is a clear and present danger to the United States. He's a criminal. Merrick Garland should indict him. I got to go to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.